It was easy, said Harry. He stood up. He could feel a lump swelling where his head had hit the wall. He was still so full of anger, he was shaking. Don't look at me like that, he snapped at Hermione. Don't you start on her, snarled Ron. No, no, we mustn't fight, said Hermione, launching herself between them. You shouldn't have said that stuff to Lupin, Ron told Harry. He had it coming to him, said Harry. Broken images were racing each other through his mind. Sirius falling through the veil, Dumbledore suspended, broken in midair, a flash of green light, and his mother's voice begging for mercy. Parents, said Harry, shouldn't leave their kids unless they've got to. Harry, said Hermione, stretching out a consoling hand, but he shrugged it off and walked away, his eyes on the fire Hermione had conjured. He had once spoken to Lupin out of that fireplace, seeking reassurance about James, and Lupin had consoled him. Now Lupin's tortured white face seemed to swim in the air before him. He felt a sickening surge of remorse. Neither Ron nor Hermione spoke, but Harry felt sure that they were looking at each other behind his back, communicating silently. He turned around and caught them turning hurriedly away from each other. I know I shouldn't have called him a coward.
No, you shouldn't, said Ron at once. But he's acting like one.
All the same,
said Hermione.
I know, said Harry. But if it makes him go back to Tonks, it'll be worth it, won't it?
He could not keep the plea out of his voice. Hermione looked sympathetic, Ron uncertain. Harry looked down at his feet, thinking of his father. Would James have backed Harry in what he had said to Lupin, or would he have been angry at how his son had treated his old friend? The silent kitchen seemed to hum with the shock of the recent scene, and with Ron and Hermione's unspoken reproaches. The Daily Prophet Lupin had brought was still lying on the table, Harry's own face staring up at the ceiling from the front page. He walked over to it and sat down, opened the paper at random, and pretended to read. He could not take in the words. His mind was still too full of the encounter with Lupin. He was sure that Ron and Hermione had resumed their silent communications on the other side of the Prophet. He turned a page loudly, and Dumbledore's name leapt out at him. It was a moment or two before he took in the meaning of the photograph, which showed a family group. Beneath the photograph were the words, "The Dumbledore family, left to right, Albus, Percival, holding newborn Ariana, Kendra, and Aberforth." His attention caught, Harry examined the picture more carefully. Dumbledore's father, Percival, was a good-looking man with eyes that seemed to twinkle even in this faded old photograph. The baby, Ariana, was little longer than a loaf of bread and no more distinctive-looking. The mother, Kendra, had jet-black hair pulled into a high bun. Her face had a carved quality about it. Harry thought of photos of Native Americans he'd seen as he studied her dark eyes, high cheekbones and straight nose, formally composed above a high-necked silk gown. Albus and Aberforth wore matching lacy collared jackets and had identical shoulder-length hairstyles. Albus looked several years older, but otherwise the two boys looked very alike, for this was before Albus's nose had been broken and before he started wearing glasses.